Our scripture today is from John chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The word of God for the people of God.
I'm grateful for our brother in Christ for sharing the good news and the word of hope and power this morning. Thank you, my friend. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Father, we want to thank you, and we want to thank you for your word. Word we heard this morning, your son speaking not only to those who were there around him right then, but to each of us here today. A powerful love that conveys you still speak into our lives every day. We give you the thanks. We pray in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Now, I'd mentioned to you about Cassie. And I'd mentioned to you about her being a college student and her mom and dad attending worship here. And Cassie Pardee is a giving sort, seeks to look beyond herself and seeks to witness to the love of God in her life and wants to share it with other people. So anyways, she decided to make a sacrifice. I told you that she had her hair shaved off for Locks of Love, which is a cancer support organization that makes wigs for children and for other individuals who have lost their hair due to cancer. Obviously, this is something that I support deeply. Not another word. But I do. I do, and I think it's a phenomenal, outstanding organization. Well, I'm going to post these, but Cassie is starting to get her head shaved here. And she has this look on her face that can best be described as panic. And here she is after she has her head shaved. And thank goodness she has a pretty good-shaped head, you know. Some people don't. I won't go any further into that either. A sister in Christ had told me that as she was watching the video, which was communicated online, that there was a point whenever they were starting to shave off Cassie's hair, where there was almost panic in her face. Okay? Like, is this a really good idea after all? And of course, once one swath of hair has been taken off, you're kind of committed, aren't you? There's no turning back. It reminded me about how our walk of faith is. Sometimes, whenever we are taking that step of faith, we might even feel in our hearts, I wonder if this is a really good idea. We might be a bit nervous. And especially whenever we are seeking to turn our lives over to God and to really, truly trust. Not just mouth the words, but rather really trust. God, you're in charge now. Here I am. Here I am. Just because we might feel nervous after we say that, doesn't mean we're any less faithful. just because we feel a bit nervous after stepping out and really trusting God and putting it all on God doesn't mean that God is any less faithful. Indeed, if anything, what we experience is that whenever we step out in faith, whenever we take that first step, we can know that God's grace is going to be more than sufficient. We can know that the Creator of the world, the power that is behind all of creation, is at work in that step as well. Amazing, but true. Do we need to fear anymore? No. Do we need to be afraid? No, not at all. In fact, fear, while it may come up inside of us, while it may bubble up from time to time, is something that we need not be about anymore, but rather faith, knowing that God is already at work in some wonderful way. Already at work. And this is the way that I love to describe God, okay? May or may not work for you, but this is the way that I love to describe God. God is at work in a surprising way. I love that. Because I'm surprised all the time by God. And I'm surprised by things that happen. Whenever I just say, Lord, you're in charge, God laughs at me a lot, okay? Not just because of my big dorky grin or the things that I do or the mistakes that I make, but God laughs at me a lot because I say, God, you're in charge, and He says, Neil, I knew that already. You know, whenever we think about these words that Jesus is sharing in the 14th chapter of John, I don't think it's a coincidence that this past week I would have offered parts of this very scripture three different times already this week. Because you see, the dialogue that Jesus is having here in John chapter 14, specifically, I should say, the responses that he has to other questions, to other people, are responses that ring down through the ages to us today. In other words, Jesus is sharing these words with us. Believe it. And these words are words that I consistently find myself using in services of death and resurrection. Interesting, isn't it? And we call it a service of death and resurrection in this church because while a death, an earthly death, has happened, no question about it, equally and even more important, what else has happened? Resurrection. My friends, that's ironclad, if you will. That's, in fact, the truth that changed the world. That resurrection has taken place, and therefore, for those of us who need resurrection right now in our own lives, spiritually or emotionally or physically, resurrection power has been unleashed. All right? That's wonderful. That's exciting. And Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. Now, while Jesus can say that to us, I don't know that I necessarily say that to other people that God puts in front of me, okay? Because sometimes to say, well, don't be afraid, I don't know that I can necessarily say that to someone. Sometimes, whenever God puts me in front of somebody, you might have the same experience, the best words to say are nothing. Simply to be a presence that points to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That in your presence, reminding that other person, God loves them. Okay, and somehow allowing that to work through you, even beyond words. But nonetheless, Jesus' words, they stretch us, don't they? And they surprise us. I do not give to you as the world gives. Jesus is giving to us in a way, that is beyond something that the world can ever provide. When the world gives us something, there's something expected in return. When the world gives us something, there's something that needs to be earned. When the world gives us something, it might not even be what we really need. But when Christ says, I give to you on my terms, and in a deeper, more intimate way, first of all, it's always what we actually need. It's also given to us freely because of God's grace. And it's something that sustains us, nourishes us, and nurtures us. That is a word of hope for today. And a word of hope for down the road as well. Even as these words from John 14 are spoken today and often used at a service of death and resurrection, we understand that they are for us specifically. Words that are offered to comfort and encourage and help us to respond to God's love and grace in our lives. That's why Jesus was speaking them. Not just so that they would make us feel all warm and fuzzy, but that we would actually respond to them as well. And there was a response yesterday that had never happened to me in my ministry. And I want to share it with you right now. A working of God's Holy Spirit in the midst of that memorial service that came to the front afterwards, when a brother in Christ came up to me with a seemingly innocent question. Do you have to be a member of the church to be baptized? Pastors are always answering all sorts of different questions. And I said, no. Baptism is an act of God's grace, and it's a sacrament, a sacred moment. And as people feel guided by the Holy Spirit to receive baptism, and as they believe in Jesus Christ and seek to honor that saving relationship, then yeah, they step forward to receive baptism. And just then, or he walked away, and his friend came up to me and said, were you serious? I said, yes, very much so. I take those things seriously. I joke around about a lot of things, but that's one thing I take seriously. And that's biblical. And it's from God. And so he said, when can I be baptized? This was right after the memorial service. And I said, we can go up to the altar right now and do that. And he said, wonderful. Let me get my wife. And so he and his wife and his friend, myself, walked back into the sanctuary here, this very place yesterday morning. Everybody had gone from the service of death and resurrection. And I baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. As a response to what had been shared earlier. Words of life. Words of hope. Words of grace. But it didn't end there. His wife said to me something amazing. He said, you're not done yet. And she said, I want to be baptized. I get chills just thinking about how God was working there. It certainly wasn't me. If it's up to Neil, and I've preached this before, I'm going to screw it up every time. But whenever it's up to God, it's going to be right. What happened there was a working of God's Holy Spirit as two children of God. Step forward and said, yes, I believe in God through Christ. I claim that saving relationship. I open myself to God's Holy Spirit. And more so, I'm responding to God's love in my life. Peace I leave with you. What did Jesus say? My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. They were seeking that. They wanted to be filled with that peace. And they were through that sacrament of God's grace. Amen? This morning, my friends, we have another sacrament. What a great day for you to be here. It's a reminder of God's grace as well. I'd ask those who are serving communion to please step forward at this time. Those who are going to be serving communion, you can just stay right down there. You don't have to come up here. I'll bring it down to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Through the sacraments, through the breaking of bread, pouring out the body of Christ, His blood, we are offered that peace once again today, aren't we? We are. Jesus said, "This is my body, and it is broken for you. It is offered to the people of God, to each and every one." We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And the blood of Christ poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness. Peace offered once again in the name of Jesus. These are elements of grace and a table of grace. And when Jesus said, "This is my blood shed for you, for forgiveness," He was saying that to all of us as well. You are forgiven. You have hope. I offer you my peace. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is an open table. That means that after the communion stewards have received the elements of grace, you will be invited forward by the ushers. All are welcome. All are included. Know that Jesus offers you His peace as well.